Hello, West Liberty. You are listening to WGLZ 91.5. We are college radio, and we are passionately vocal. Today is our fourth episode of our series of interviews, Passionately Vocal, Distinctive Discussion. Today, we will be talking to Justin Reese, a well-decorated wrestler with accomplishments at every level. A three-time state champion in Utah during high school, two-time All-American for Nebraska University, a seven-time U.S. Open national champ, six-time U.S. World Team member, and a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. But, Mr. Reese, I would like to just ask, first and foremost, how did you initially come into wrestling and ultimately Greco-Roman wrestling specifically?
So, I got into wrestling in junior high. My older brother had started wrestling a year before, I think. And I had some friends that were wrestling on the junior high team. So, between seeing my brother get into wrestling and some of my friends get into wrestling, it was something that I wanted to give a try. And when I started doing it, I just really loved it and knew that was something that I wanted to pursue and I wanted to do. As far as getting into Greco-Roman wrestling, my brother suggested in the off season, this was the first year that I started wrestling, I was in eighth grade, he wanted to go to a Greco tournament in off season, and so I was like, okay, let's go. I ended up going, and I wrestled two matches. I got tech fouled in one match, which basically they had so many, my opponent scored so many points that they just ended the match. And then in the other match, I was getting beat pretty badly, and the kid pinned me. So it wasn't a great first experience. So after that tournament, I swore off Greco. I told myself, I'm just not a Greco wrestler. I'm not going to go do this. I really didn't enjoy it. But then my freshman year, I wrestled for Freestyle and Greco Club post-high school season. And the coach had a parent and athlete meeting where he was laying the groundwork and expectations for everybody when competitions were, when practices were. And there was a competition coming up that weekend, and it was, hey, Friday night is going to be Greco, Saturday is going to be freestyle. So I went up to him after the meeting, and I told him, hey, I'm not a Greco wrestler. I'm just going to do freestyle on Saturday, so I won't see you Friday. And my coach was basically told me that wasn't okay, and that if I was going to be in the club, that I had to do it all. So from that, I learned some techniques. I started going to more competitions and saw that it wasn't all that different from high school wrestling or freestyle wrestling. Techniques and positions varied a little bit, but it was still wrestling. So after I got some more experience, I really started to enjoy it, and then was lucky enough to go to a practice that was ran by a four-time Olympian, Mark Fuller. He was out in Utah, and I went to one of his practices getting ready for the junior nationals in the summer, and I really enjoyed that practice and working with him. So he invited me to start coming to some other practices where there were a few other kids that were training Greco seriously. And he's really the one that kind of put me on that path, because I remember he asked me what my goals were for wrestling. And at the time I told him, oh, I want to be a state champion. And he said, oh, that's great. You know, that's a great goal to have, to be a state champion. But why not be a world champion? Why not be an Olympic champion? And for me, just being a kid, my eyes got wide, and I was pretty surprised. I was thinking, I don't know, how do you do that? And so he told me, hey, you know, this is how you do that. This is how we'll train. We're going to go to these competitions, and we're going to try to get you to be competitive on the world level. So that was really how I got serious about Greco-Roman wrestling, and training with him, made my first junior world team. And after I made that first international trip, that even helped solidify more that that was something that I wanted to do and a path I wanted to pursue.
So your dream of international wrestling has been was a long time in the making, kind of.
Yeah, so about my junior year in high school, at that point, that's when I started to get really serious about it, spending more time focusing on Greco-Roman wrestling, and I just really enjoyed it. This coach, he taught me how to lift opponents from the mat and throw them, and I just thought that was the funnest thing, and I wanted to keep doing it, and he had a system, and me and another athlete on the team had some success. We were both on a couple world teams together in high school. It was just a lot of fun. But, yeah, he was the one that kind of got me elevating my sights a little bit higher.
Yeah, and kind of along with that wrestling that you did in high school, what was it? What was that transition for you from high school to, you know, wrestling at Nebraska University? I watched an interview with one of your coaches, Matt Lindland. You talk about how that first practice you went into Nebraska, you had a 30-minute go, and you realized there was some adjustments needed.
Yeah. So it was a big adjustment adapting from high school to college. I was one of the top wrestlers in high school, and then going to a college room, I had that expectation that I was going to be one of the best guys in college as well. And yeah, I remember we had this long 30-minute live go for wrestling, and I was wrestling Coach Matt, and he took me down within, gosh, like the first minute of wrestling. And then he rode me, and I couldn't get away. Like, I tried to stand up. He put me back down. I kept trying to stand up. He just kept returning me to the mat. He stuffed me in the corner of the room. I couldn't do anything. Then about the halfway mark, he cut me loose. So we were back on our feet. And in my mind, I was thinking, okay, well, he got lucky this first half of the match. I'm going to really take it to him the second half of the match. And he took me down in like another 30 seconds. And then he held me down the whole rest of the go. And so it was definitely hard, but it was a good experience because it was uncomfortable enough that in my mind I was thinking, I'm never going to let this happen to me again. I have to get better. I have to learn how to get off the bottom. There's no way I'm going to let another person do that to me. So that was a catalyst to spend more time getting off the bottom and just improving in general. But getting to college, it was a huge wake-up call. And I think it was just the intensity. You have a lot of athletes, they would get in positions and they were fighting for every single inch, whereas in high school you'd have kids, you'd get to a good position, they'd kind of bail out or they wouldn't fight as hard from bad positions, whereas in college it was a scrap for every inch of position and just it was tough. It was an adjustment for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And what did that adjustment in that kind of look like? Because obviously you had a lot of success at the collegiate level, being a two-time All-American for Nebraska.
Yeah, I think just being in a really good environment, you just show up every day and you get a little bit better every day. And I'd figure out the mistakes I was making in positions, and I'd figure out where I needed to increase my intensity in different positions. For example, when you're taking a shot on somebody's leg, you know, you'd anticipate that they'd be fighting really hard, so you just had to hold on to the leg a lot tighter. You had to move and react a lot quicker, get them off balance. So I think it was just showing up every day, wrestling with good guys, and then reflecting and making those adjustments when things weren't working out.
Mm-hmm. And with obviously you made that adjustment and had that success, what was the next adjustment like from, you know, collegiate to that international level of wrestling?
That was another adjustment. So after my sophomore year, I decided to take an Olympic redshirt year. So I moved out to Colorado Springs, became a resident at the Olympic Training Center, and I was training with the team and started traveling on the senior level international circuit. And the very first senior international tournament that I went to, you had a pool system back then where you'd be grouped in a pool and then you had to win your pool to be able to advance out of that and advance into the bracket. And I wrestled three matches. There were three opponents in my pool and I only scored 1 point in those three matches. I think I lost 9-1, 4-0, and 6-0. And I had just put my college career on hold, and I thought I was doing the right thing by taking Olympic redshirt year. I had the confidence that, hey, I can be successful. I'd been having success at the senior level in the U.S., done well at the national level. But then when I wrestled in that tournament, I definitely questioned if I had made the right decision. by leaving Nebraska. But and I didn't know who these athletes were either. I didn't know if they were if they had won anything or not. But it turns out the Russian I wrestled was a world champion 2 years before. The Swede I wrestled, that he ended up being the world champion that year. And then there was also a Czech that already had won world medals as well. So they were all really good athletes, really great competitors, but I didn't know that. And so when I found that out, not that I felt good about losing, but it kind of made me realize, like, oh, okay, well, if these are the best guys in the world, then it wasn't that much of a blowout. Like, yeah, I didn't score any points, but I can get better in these positions. So it was just a matter of, again, just taking your lumps and getting more exposure to high-level training and camps and competition. And then over time, I was able to make the adjustments. But that first tournament was discouraging for sure, and I definitely had some second thoughts about the decision I'd made to move out to Colorado.
Yeah, and it sounds like you kind of had a learning moment with, I guess, the mindset part of it, where you realized that these were very high-level athletes. What was kind of your mindset going into it like?
My mindset going into the tournament, I think I underestimated the competition because I'd had some success in the U.S. I made some world teams at the junior level, but I just didn't take into account that these guys would be as good of athletes as they were or as experienced as they were. So I think I went in a little naive to those matches, thinking I was going to be able to score a whole bunch of points and do what I wanted. So that I just learned, like, okay, well, at this level, there's not as much scoring. It's going to be a little tighter. Like, the closer matches are going to be a little more tightly contested. So I had to be not more conservative, but I think just be more patient, realizing that you're wrestling really good guys. They're not going to just give up points and just be in bad position. So I just had to reframe and realize, hey, these guys are really good too. You gotta respect them and their abilities and just get more reps in and just get more time in. And I felt like if I'm in those positions, in the past I had been able to be in good environments and I got better. And so I felt like I was in a good environment. And so I just thought it was a matter of time before I would get to where I wanted to go. And that strategy ended up working out, where I stayed wrestling at an international level and had some good exposure and had some good experience and got some good wins.
Yeah, and a little bit of the reason that I ask about that mindset question, I understand you have a book called Mindset of a Wrestler, and in that book you talk about just barely missing out on being a 2008 Olympian for Beijing, and how even though that fell through for you, you were presented with other opportunities and good things that came your way. Could you maybe tell me about some of the good things that came out of, you know, that learning moment for you?
Yeah, I think it comes down to mindset. Regardless of what happens to you in your life, you can either look at it as a negative or you can look at it as a positive. And I think losing the trials, I learned how to deal with loss at a real high level. I learned I had other opportunities. I probably ended up wrestling longer than I would have compared to if I would have made the team. So I was able to create more relationships with other people and have more wrestling experience that I may not have had. And then also, you just when you have big losses like that, it kind of prepares you, because life is going to deal some challenges to you that you weren't anticipating. And when looking back on it, it's like, okay, well, it was a loss in wrestling matches. And compared to some other things that happen in life, it's not as significant. You know, the sun rises and you have another opportunity to go try to do your best and learn and improve. But I think one of the things I really like that has helped my mindset is the mantra of things don't happen to me, they happen for me. So even if something doesn't necessarily go how you were planning or not going your way initially, that it's something that's going to make you stronger and it's something that's going to make you better down the road.
Mm-hmm. And would you say that, I guess, your mindset has changed since you stopped competing and are now taking on more of a coaching role?
I mean, things have changed a little bit. I still believe that even though you have challenges, that they can be for your benefit if you look at it like that. So I don't think that has changed. But I think as I've gotten older, you have different perspective and see more of the long game, where I think is when you're an athlete, you're very focused on the now and the day-to-day and the next competition and not thinking too far ahead. I feel like as an athlete, it seems like, hey, you're in this competitive environment and this atmosphere, and because it is challenging on the day-to-day, like physically challenging, and it's something you've done as a kid, it seems like it's not going to come to an end, but it eventually does for everybody. So I think as having moved past being an athlete, more on the coaching side, you realize that, and that's perspective that you can share with athletes to when they're upset about a loss or they're very concerned with something that happened, trying to provide some of that perspective and sharing that perspective with them as far as, oh, hey, you know, like, you still have time. This isn't the end. There's time to improve. There's time to work on this. Or even if it's the end of the career, it's like, hey, take these lessons that you learned and go apply it to your next challenge or your next set of goals that you want to accomplish.
Yeah. And for you, with, you know, making that transition to coaching, how did you kind of adjust, not just, obviously, I asked you about mindset, but not just on the mindset side, but, you know, the actual physical adjustment to being a coach and no longer, like, competing?
Yeah, that was kind of tough. That was kind of tough because when you're an athlete, it's very, everything's centered around the athlete in a lot of cases. You have coaches that are trying to help you get better. And then when you get on the other side of it, it changes from more of focus on you to where it's more of a service focus, where you're trying to provide service to all the athletes, make them better, help them succeed in their careers. And it's not about you anymore. It's about helping your athletes succeed, helping them grow, helping them win. So that's a bit of a shift. I think also, too, just learning how to communicate with athletes and also having a realization of being a high-level athlete, there's a lot of things that you definitely work hard for, but I think there's some positions and some things that you just tend to have a feel for, or you sort them out one way in your mind as far as how you're explaining things, and then when you're trying to share it with somebody else, you could use the cues and the tips that helped you be successful, but the athlete might not understand it the same way. They may not pick it up the same way. They may, and you have to break technique down. You have to sometimes just do a better job of explaining things that would, like for example, I remember when I was coaching in college after I was done competing, explaining this shot and this finish, and so I was trying to show this athlete this shot and this finish, and they're doing it, and it just wasn't working, and I couldn't figure out why it wasn't working, because in my mind, I'm like, I'm telling you the positions, I'm telling you the cues, but then when I stepped back and watched what they were doing, it was, they were leaving their foot behind, their foot wasn't adjusting to where I kind of just instinctively moved it. And so I had to add that to the explanation of, oh, hey, you're missing this piece. You also, like, you can't leave your foot there. Your foot has to travel with you as you're making these other adjustments. So I think there were a lot of learning moments like that to where I realized, oh, I was blessed with the gift of wrestling, even though I worked hard to develop that. But there was a lot more explaining and breaking things down for other athletes that maybe didn't pick it up the same way or didn't understand things the same way that I did.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, that is about halfway through the interview here, so we're going to cut to a short break, and we will be back in a little bit here. Everybody listening, please stay tuned.
Attention. These airwaves are property of the system. Unauthorized transmissions are punishable by expulsion. Obey or be silenced.
Silenced? Every time you shut us down, we come back louder.
Your message is irrelevant. Return control now.
No, these frequencies belong to us, the ones who are passionately vocal. Not today. This is WGLZ 91.5, The takeover is complete.
Welcome back, West Liberty, and this is Vincent. I was just talking to Mr. Reese here on Passionately Vocal, the final episode in our four-part series of interviews, and we were just talking about some of the sides of being a coach and being an international athlete, and kind of just where we left off, you talked a little bit before about helping athletes build that feel, and you mentioned something similar in an interview with USA Wrestling back in September of 2023, and you talked about being able to have your guys on the U.S. Greco team cross-train with athletes from other countries and being able to get that, quote, feel. And how would you say is a way that you help your athletes to develop that feel for wrestling?
I think wrestling is a sport that's very hands-on because an athlete might have an understanding of how to wrestle out of a certain position, but if they're not getting a good look as far as what their competitor, the type of look their competitor is going to give them, then it can help them develop a false sense of security or confidence because they feel like they've mastered something. But again, there's not the intensity on the other side. So I feel on the coaching side, if you're able to wrestle with the athletes and let them feel what it's supposed to feel like, then the light bulb kind of turns on of, oh, that's what you meant. Because you can explain things, you can show them things on a video, but sometimes they have to feel the pressure or the direction change or just the, you know, the instability or whatever while you're wrestling for them to really understand the point that you're trying to get across. So I think it's a little different than other sports because other sports it's not going to be as hands-on as wrestling is going to be in some cases. So I think that's really important to be able to give people a feel and then also finding partners for your athletes so that they can get a good look and get good exposure so that they can develop skills in those positions where you want them to have skills.
Yeah, and I will say my wrestling coach is also a big believer in wrestling with your athletes and showing them, like, physically what they mean.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep, exactly, because I think it's a very hands-on sport, and, well, just like with Matt Lindland, when I was wrestling him, he could have told me every day the type of pressure that he wanted me to put on guys. And instead of doing that, I learned in 30 minutes what he could have been trying to explain to me, you know, who knows how long, for years, trying to explain it to me in words. But he was able to just get on top of me and show the pressure that, the type of pressure that he was looking for.
Yeah. And then taking a little bit of a step back to where you still were an athlete, I understand you were part of, to my knowledge, the only U.S. Greco-Roman team to win a world championship. What was it like to kind of be a part of that?
It was really cool. It was a lot of fun. And in the moment, I knew that we had a lot of really good guys, and we all wanted to win, and I think we were all trying to do our individual best. But I don't think that anybody had really thought much about a team score or winning the world championships. I think everybody just showed up, and we had a lot of guys wrestle really well. And at the end of the day, when we were able to listen to, stand on top of the podium and see our flag being raised, that was really cool.
Yeah, and not just the world championship, but kind of all your athletic accolades. What do those mean to you in hindsight?
In hindsight, they were good experiences. They taught me a lot about myself, that if I focus and work hard at things, I can develop skills, I can develop habits and mindsets that I need to succeed, not just at wrestling, but really at anything that I want to improve at or get good at. And then also I think just the experience, just those relationships and those experiences that you have along the way are really what life's about, because you go through your life and you have relationships with different people, and when you're able to have shared experiences, that's what makes life fun.
Yeah. And You did say something about how that has helped you in other areas of your life. Would you say, I also understand you're a mortgage broker, would you say that wrestling has helped you in some aspect in, I guess, your business pursuits?
Yeah, I think so. I think with athletics and wrestling specifically, you learn that, hey, there are some activities that are going to be repetitive, but they're important to perform over and over again. And you need to constantly focus on the fundamentals and improving those to be able to have success. And I don't think it's any different in the mortgage space. You got a handful of activities that you need to do on a regular basis, and you need to try to continue to improve those, your abilities and your skills to have success. And then also too, it's, I think athletics teaches you, you only have control over your, really your inputs, like the work that you're doing and the outcomes. Sometimes you're just, you wrestle somebody and they're just better that day, even though you worked really hard and you did what you could. You can just only focus on what you're doing, and outcomes are kind of just sort themselves out. And I think that's the same thing in the business world. You can do what you can do, but at the end of the day, there's a lot of things that are out of your control, and you can only focus on the inputs and the activities that you're doing on a regular basis. So I think they run hand in hand, and just wrestling's a grind. Mortgage industry is a grind. It's not like you can show up and at a wrestling tournament and just because you had success a week before that you're going to have success today. And it's the same thing with on the lending side of things. You got to make sure you're showing up and doing a good job for your clients and for your referral partners. Otherwise, they may not come back the next time when they have a mortgage need.
Yeah, and just kind of more on that mortgage broker side, how did you even come across that opportunity? Because, I mean, wrestling, usually people catapult a wrestling career into, you know, a long, prosperous coaching career, but you kind of, you did do the coaching part, but you're also got this business side of you. How did you come across that?
Yeah, I think I got lucky, really. So when I was coaching at Utah Valley, I got to the point where, I mean, I had four young kids at the time, so my wife was, you know, happened to just be with the kids by herself, and I was traveling, and the college wrestling season's pretty busy because you have time of year that you're traveling for competition, you have travel for recruiting, you have travel for off-season stuff, you have camps going on, so it's just a lot of time on the road, and so that was hard for my family. Just to, my wife happened to manage all the kids by herself. And also, too, I had looked at kind of the lifestyle of other assistant coaches, because I was assistant coach at the time. And I'd seen coaches where it's, you know, they're in a place for a couple years, and then they move up to another program for a couple years, and they'll move to another place, and then they'll get a head coaching job and kind of work their way up. So I was looking at it more in that aspect of, hey, I've seen other coaches, and it seems like they bounced around quite a bit for a decade or so until they settled into a good head coaching job, and that wasn't really something that I wanted to do. So I wanted to look for other opportunities outside of wrestling. So it was kind of funny. I actually went to, like, this software, like this coding boot camp over a summer when I knew I was looking to get out of wrestling, and I did that, and then I started – doing that job. I had a part-time job doing like programming, and then when I got to about the point where I was going to go full-time and leave wrestling, I had another buddy that I grew up with and had known since the second grade, and he was basically had heard that I was looking to leave wrestling and go do something else, and so he was like, hey, why don't you just come work for me? He's like, it's a great career, lot of opportunity there. And so I trusted him because I'd known him for so long, so I decided to go that route instead, and so that's how I got into the mortgage industry. So I worked for him for a few years as his assistant, and then learned the business, and then decided I wanted to go to originate loans on my own, and so became a mortgage broker. And so that's kind of how I got on the path. But it's a great career, a lot of opportunity. You're helping people solve problems. You know, there's something new every day, even though some of the things are repetitive, and you get to meet a lot of people, build relationships, and it's a great opportunity to provide for your family financially as well. So it's a great industry.
Yeah, and you also mentioned, I mentioned, that you were the, I believe it was the general manager of USA Greco-Roman Wrestling?
Yeah, So in the summer of 22, my old coach, Steve Frazier, had reached out about a position opening with USA Wrestling as a director of fundraising, and he thought I would be good at it, so he reached out and asked if I was interested in applying, and initially I told him no, I wasn't interested. I had my mortgage business going in Utah, and we kind of had some roots set up there, so we were doing good. And then the more I thought about it, it seemed like it would be a cool opportunity to be back in the Olympic movement and kind of have that experience. And so I ended up applying for the job, and I got the job. And a few weeks after I took the job, literally in December of 22, I was looking to move my family out, and then the executive team from USA Wrestling gave me a call, and they were asking me if I wanted to move over from the fundraising position to managing the Greco-Roman team. And so I thought that would be cool. It'd get me even closer to the athletes and closer back to the nitty-gritty of wrestling. And so I took them up on their offer and was in that position and did that for a couple years. I think I underestimated the difficulty of traveling, being on the road and still having kids at home. So it was one of those things where it was cool. I really enjoyed building those relationships with the athletes and the other coaches, but it just came down to, I decided to come back to mortgage industry full time. So I left USA Wrestling earlier this summer. But it was a cool experience, but I just decided that I liked working for myself better than I like working for other people, and just wanted to be able to take advantage of the opportunity of implementing those skills that I had learned in the mortgage industry. And so I'm back at it, back in the mortgage broker space.
Awesome. Would you say that your time away from wrestling is kind of what made you come back to it? Do you think you would have had the same passion coming back to USA Wrestling had you just stayed a coach the whole time?
I don't know. That's a good question. I think being away from it definitely made me want to be a part of that, because I remembered the good times that I had when I was an athlete competing and traveling, and it was a great time. But I mean, I found myself after I was in it, it's kind of funny, because last year the world championships for the non-Olympic weight classes is in Albania. So I'm sitting on the beach in Albania when we had some downtime at that tournament, and I'm like looking at the waves, and it was super peaceful. It was awesome. I love the beach. But as I'm out looking across the waves, I'm thinking, this is cool, but my family's not here. I would rather be with my family. And I thought, what would really be cool is if I was on the beach with my family. And while I was having this internal conversation, kind of realized, staying in the wrestling world and working with USA Wrestling probably was not the vehicle to be able to get my family on the beach with me. And so that's where I started having some plans of thinking, okay, well, how can I set things up to be able to go back to full-time lending back in the mortgage space? And so, less than a year later, was back at it full-time. But, I think being away from it did make me miss it. And now with my role, I do have a flexible schedule. So I'm still in Colorado Springs. I'm still involved a little bit with helping some of the Greco athletes. I've been up to Fort Carson to train with the world-class athlete program wrestlers that are up at Fort Carson. So I kind of pop in here and there, and I'm able to work with some of the guys. So I feel like now I kind of have the best of both worlds, where I'm able to have a career, provide for my family, continue to create opportunities there, but also still pop in and get my wrestling fix when I want it. So it's been good.
Yeah, that's great. Well, Mr. Reese, it was great talking to you about your wrestling career and all the amazing things you've done during wrestling, during your career as an athlete, and, you know, post being an athlete. And I just want to thank you for your time and joining me on the radio today.
Yeah, you're welcome. Happy to do it. Thanks. Thanks for inviting me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. This has been Vinny with a student interview here on WGLZ 91.5. Please stay tuned for more student projects like this and great music. We are college radio, and we are passionately vocal.